Zechariah chapter 7. Well, the exiles have returned, and at this point, which is the fourth year of King Darius, chapter 7, verse 1, they've returned, but they are not very spiritual people. And God says to them later on in this chapter, you're oppressing the widow, the fatherless, the foreigner, the poor, devising evil against your brother in your heart. You refuse to listen, etc., etc. And so they were not very spiritual people, as Haggai makes clear, as the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi make clear. And yet, at this time, the people of Bethel, that is, those who had returned to Bethel, or the people originally from Bethel who'd returned, they come with a question. And we're told that they sent Sherezer and Regem-Melech. Well, Regem-Melech is a mixture of Assyrian and Hebrew, implying friend of the king. And again, it reflects how deeply assimilated the Jews had become. And Sherezer is pretty much the form of the Assyrian Sar Usur. May Assur protect the king. It was actually the name of one of Sennacherib's sons. It's recorded in 2 Kings 19. So these people had returned to the land. According to Haggai, they had rebuilt, or built rather, their own homes, but had left God's house unfinished. And so these people are not particularly spiritual people, and they come to God and they say, verse 3, they say, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done all these years? Well, weeping really implied fasting. Now, this fast in the fifth month was to remember the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and the burning of the temple. And it seems that they had instituted several extra fasts and feasts. For example, mourning the death of Gedaliah, mourning, as we see here, the destruction of the temple. And they wept and fasted on these feasts that they had themselves instituted. And the answer is, verse 5, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and in the seventh month, these 70 years, did you actually fast to me, really to me? So the fast of the fifth month, as I say, was the fast to commemorate the burning of the temple. The fast of the seventh month was to mourn the murder of Gedaliah. He was the first leader of the few Jews who were allowed to remain in the land in Jeremiah 41. And yet they had done this, but God says, you didn't do this to me, really to me. They said they did, but not really. So I think that you see here man's love of religion. They loved religious structure, and they had created these other fasts and feasts, and yet God says this was not done to me. But God says very clearly in Ezekiel 45 that when they'd returned and they were to rebuild the temple, as he outlined in Ezekiel 40 to 48, in the seventh month, in the 15th day of the month, they were to do the sin offering and the burnt offering and the meat offering. But it seems that that sort of was not really taken seriously. They instead had instituted a feast in that same month to mourn the death of Gedaliah. They were very into their tradition, into their culture as Jews, very strong self-identity, we are Jews, and yet they were not actually interested in seriously obeying God's word. And this is something that's lamented likewise in Zechariah chapter 8, that they had ordained this feast, these feasts and this fasting. But actually, the only fast that God asked for under the law of Moses was for the Day of Atonement. And yet, there's evidence, as I say, in chapter 8, and also, I think, reading between the lines in Isaiah several places, that they did not keep the Day of Atonement sincerely. They just bowed down their heads like a bulrush. And they, instead of being gracious to others and releasing others from their debts to them, as they were supposed to do on the Day of Atonement, they instead Well, when they proclaimed the Jubilee, it was proclaimed the Day of Atonement. But instead of that, they oppressed and abused each other, trying to get as much as they could out of each other. And yet my point here is that they were fasting and keeping these festivals for themselves and not to God. So he says, God says, when you fasted, did you really do it to me? Really to me? And then in verse 6, and when you eat and when you drink, this is talking about keeping the sacrifices, eating and drinking, don't you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? So this is the challenge to us today, that you can do all manner of religious ritual, going to meetings, breaking bread and so forth, when actually you're doing it for yourselves and not for God. We can sing hymns, but effectively to ourselves. And you remember the Lord's parable of the Pharisee who prays ostensibly to God, but actually to himself. And this is the trouble with religion. Of course, it is right to go to church. It is right to break bread. It is right to have this system. But the problem is that we as human beings have a terrible attraction to religion for the sake of it. It's almost coded into us that we like this kind of thing. Even if you consider yourself an atheist, people get involved in clubs and societies, and the ritual and the tradition and the regular, repeated nature of the whole thing becomes to them very, very important. I mean, even if it's sort of the local atheists club kind of thing, and you suggest that the annual outing is not going to be held on the last Saturday of June, but actually we're going to change it last Saturday of July. Oh no, the balloon goes up. There is within us a tremendous conservatism. We absolutely love to have structure and ritual that we are used to. And for those who believe in God, who do have certain things that they need to do regularly for God, such as prayer, breaking of bread, things like that, we can so easily turn this into a religious thing that is effectively for ourselves, that we perform these things, as he says, not really for me, and when you eat and drink, don't you do it for yourselves? This is the question. Are we part of churches and fellowships and religious life for ourselves? Is it just meeting our religious, social, psychological need? Or are we absolutely devoted genuinely to wanting to serve God?